Well, very happy Father's Day to all of our fathers, grandfathers, and godfathers. I came across a little story just recently I wanted to share with you today. It was about four men who were becoming fathers for the first time. They were all in the waiting room while their wives were in having the babies. The nurse comes out and says to the first man, "Congratulations, you're a father of twins." And the man said, "Oh, that is wonderful news. In fact, what's interesting is that I work for the Minnesota Twins." And then the nurse came out again and said to the second man, "Congratulations, you're the father of triplets." And the man said, "That is wonderful news. And it's very appropriate because I work for the company called 3M. And then the nurse comes out and says to the next father, "Congratulations, you're the father of quadruplets." And he said, "That is incredible. I'm so happy. In fact, I work for the Four Seasons Resort." And just then, the fourth man turned white and almost fainted. And the nurse said, "What's wrong?" He says, "I work for 7-Up. So a very happy Father's Day to all of you. Let's take a look at today's gospel. Very short gospel, but it's filled with action and very good insights that we can apply to our spiritual life. And this occurred on the Sea of Galilee. And just a comment about the Sea of Galilee, it's a very unique body of water. It's not a large lake. It's about 13 miles from north to south and 7 miles from east to west. But it's 150 feet deep in its deepest place. And it's 700 feet below sea level, surrounded by mountains. And so it's very prone to have these thunderstorms come up over the mountains and sweep down on the Sea of Galilee. Normally, in the late afternoon, we experience this even in Leesburg, right? Severe thunderstorms sometimes in late afternoon, early evening. But this was already after that. And so it was very rare for this violent squall to come about. That's why the apostles decided to go across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had been working very hard all day. He had been curing people, healing the sick. He had just spent himself completely. And there were thousands of people always trying to crowd around him. So the Lord said, "Let us go to the other side of the lake," most likely so they could continue their work, but also maybe get some rest. And so they left at night, and everything seemed to be fine. And Jesus was so exhausted, he was sound asleep in the boat, up in the stern, and actually in the back of the boat, on a cushion. And then a violent squall, a violent storm broke out. And what I like best about this particular event is that you very clearly see the humanity of Christ and the divinity of Christ, all within a few moments. You see his humanity because he is so exhausted and tired, he's sound asleep, even though the waves are crashing into the boat, even though, and in fact, Josephus, who was one of the early historians, said when these storms hit the Sea of Galilee, there would be 10 or 20 foot waves in the Sea of Galilee. So you have to picture the scene that they're on the boat and they're trying to, you know, fight for their lives, trying to row or bring in the sail, and the waves are 10 or 20 feet crashing into the boat. It says the boat is filling up with water, and there Jesus is, sound asleep on a cushion. He was a deep sleeper, okay? And so they wake him up, and notice they don't say Lord or Savior. They call him Teacher. Because this is very early in the Lord's ministry. This is the fourth chapter of St. Mark. Remember, St. Mark was a disciple of St. Peter. So St. Mark got this firsthand from St. Peter. And this was very early in the Lord's ministry, so they didn't yet know that Jesus was the Son of God. And so they call to him Teacher. And notice they don't really make a good prayer. They, in a sense, they're complaining and they're criticizing Jesus. They say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Don't you care that we're dying, we're about to die?" So it's really not a good prayer, but it's more a criticism or a rebuke. Why aren't you helping us? What does the Lord do? He stands up, he rebukes the wind, immediately the wind ceases. He rebukes the sea grows calm. So here we see the divinity of Christ, that he truly is the Son of God. He has power over material things, nature, elements. So we see the humanity of Christ. Now we see the divinity of Christ. So he calls out and the sea is calm. And then he says, "Why were you so terrified? Why were you filled with fear? Do you not yet have faith?" So fear and faith are in juxtaposition. They're in contrast. Somebody once wrote that fear is spelled F-E-A-R. Remember, that stands for false expectations that appear real. And that's what they were so filled with fear, this false expectation that they were going to die, this false evidence, false expectation that appeared so real. And yet Jesus says, "Don't fear, have faith." And someone once wrote that faith is spelled F-A-I-T-H. And it stands for fully abandoned into thy hands. And that's what we should be, fully abandoned into thy hands, O Lord. That's what faith is. It's believing that God is in control, even during the storms of life. And so it says, after Jesus calmed the storm, it says they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who is this who even the wind and the sea obey?" So they were just coming to understand that Jesus was much more than a rabbi or a teacher, that eventually they would understand that he truly is the Son of God. And the word awe in the Greek is this reverence, respect, this total acknowledgement of the divinity of Christ. So how do we apply this to our life? Well, we all go through storms. And in fact, the fathers of the church say that this particular passage represented the persecutions of the early church, that the early church went through many storms under Nero and Diocletian and Julian the Apostate, and the church almost sank because of the persecutions. And even though Jesus was with the church and in the church, it still suffered greatly through persecutions. We still suffer today throughout the world with the persecution of Christians, the persecution of our Catholic Church, even though Christ is in the church. And sometimes we say, "Lord, where are you?" when the church is being persecuted. Or maybe in your own personal life, you go through the storms of life. Maybe it's a financial storm, the loss of a job for many months or even many years, the loss of a home. Maybe it's the loss of a marriage, the loss of good health. Maybe your storm is a relationship storm, problems with your children or grandchildren, the storms of life, whether they be emotional, relational, financial, spiritual. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one, the death of a spouse, a parent, a child. These are the storms of life that we all go through. And notice that Christians go through these storms as well as other people. Even though Jesus is with us, Jesus is in your life, Jesus is in the boat, so to speak. But sometimes we think, well, where is Jesus? Where is God when we go through sufferings? Where is God when we go through the storms of life, through the difficult times? Jesus says, "Don't fear, have faith." That's the key. That's what we should remember from today's gospel. When you go through the storms of your life, remember that Jesus is in the boat with you. You might think he's asleep on the cushion. Maybe you've been praying for a long time and don't seem to hear anything, don't seem to get any response. Persevere, keep praying, don't give up, persevere in your prayer life, because all Jesus has to do is arise and say a word and things will get better. And so that's what we should remember in today's gospel. When we go through the storms of life, realize that even with Jesus in our life, there are still going to be storms and difficulties and challenges. But don't fear. Don't give in to those false expectations that appear so real. Instead, have faith in Christ and be fully abandoned into thy hands.